I'm really looking forward to this. It's the third time I've got to share this today, and I really believe that we are in a series that can change not just the direction of our own lives, but the communities we find ourselves in. And I really mean that. I don't say that flippantly. Some 2 years ago, and I know a lot of people are coming through, and we are a fairly transient community, but I hope that you can take a hold of stuff that will affect the way that you do life. And we've been reading the Bible for years and very deliberately reading through it. And we began a series almost 2 years ago now that we just called Transformed, and it was just going through the New Testament, looking at what would it really mean if we took what Jesus said seriously. Like if we really took it on board and began to apply that to our lives. And as we worked our way through it, we then went through the rest of the New Testament and the way that the church developed and grew and the difficulties they hit and the things that Paul the Apostle began to speak to them and just about really living this life of grace, forgiveness, etc. And then we did the Rick Warren series, Transformed, to sort of wrap it up, taking those seven key areas of life and allowing God to change the way we think them and live them. And then we grew that into this series that we're doing now called Choices. It's choices. But choices do nothing if we don't take the action that we need to take. The choice is the mental part of the transformation, but then what action are we going to follow that up with? And so this series has, again, a number of weeks. There's seven topics that we're hitting, but it's born out of this passage in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, you hear God speaking to his people through Moses, and it's like he is leaning in and just yearning over them. And he goes, look, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, but choose life. Like God can't just, he's not just going to make you do it, but he lays out this opportunity and goes, come on, choose it. Choose life. Why? So that you and your children may live. Realize that our choices affect the generation that follows us too. And we can see shifts when we choose well. And Matthew 5:14 says this, you're here to be light. So therefore, bring out the God colors in the world. That's Eugene Peterson's translation of Matthew chapter 5 there. And in the choices we make, life or death, we will flourish or we will fade. We will move towards those God colors and color the world that we live in, or we will move towards this grayscale blur. And I'm really, I really feel like when we as the Church of Jesus Christ, his hands, his feet, his voice, his community that is meant to be light, get reduced to buildings, to meetings, to ritual, to dogma, we just lose it and we become this blur, just kind of grayscale that we don't bring light and flavor and beauty into this world. We just get stuck. And so I want to just encourage us towards making these choices that are life-giving to ourselves and to others. And we did a whole intro on it, but then went into, what would it look like if we actually chose love over indifference? Love versus indifference. It's not love versus hate. It's the Bible says this, as the days get long, or in the latter days, people's hearts will just grow cold to one another. We just lose sight of one another. And one of the things you hear people say is they just want to know that they're seen, that they're cared about. And so we colored that with this color red. We sort of threw into this, this gray ash sort of scene, this color of red. And Shane spoke to it and he said, love is the trademark of the believing church. Love is the trademark. It's this thing that Jesus said, that the world will know that you're my followers, you're my people, you're my kind of folk when you love one another. It's this trademark move. And we moved out of that and we looked at what would it look like if we forgave instead of becoming bitter. It's not just forgiveness or unforgiveness. It's forgiveness or bitterness. You've got to realize it. Because unforgiveness just slowly eats away and eats away and becomes darker and darker. You do not remain just static in unforgiveness. It moves towards bitterness. And Paul writes about this. We talked about it just a couple of weeks ago. But when you bring this, you know, we chose the color purple for this idea of forgiveness because it says forgive as Christ forgave you, as royally, as fully as He forgave you, we should also be forgiving one another. And Daniel said last week, he made this great quote, no one loses when we forgive. No one loses. We get liberated and other people get liberated. And so we started to bring color into these scenes, but you realize that love is the foundation for all of these choices that we're going to make. When we learn what it is to love as we've been loved, to forgive as we have been forgiven, love just takes on all sorts of different, you know, manifestations. And tonight, love is going to lay this foundation for a tough one because we're, you know, as if it wasn't hard enough to just say, come on, choose love, if it wasn't enough to say, come on, choose forgiveness. And we're coming into this place where we're saying, come on, choose to believe the best rather than assuming the worst. Choose to believe the best rather than assuming the worst. In 1 Corinthians 13, 7, and it's right in the midst of this whole passage on what love looks like. You come to verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, have a look at it. It has these four things it says about love. It says love bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things. All things. Love. It bears, believes, hopes, and endures. And these all have to do with this attitude that we choose. When it says that love bears all things, it literally means this. It bears up or it takes the weight of. It doesn't lay open or display. It puts up with anything. It doesn't take offense. Love bears all things, but it goes beyond just bearing it to actually believing the best of someone else. When we choose to love someone, we choose to believe the best. And to take the opportunity to believe the best of someone else is not easy. Paul actually says here, the idea behind this is that should be our go-to position, that whatever we're confronted with, whatever we hear, whatever we're engaged, our go-to position is that I'm going to believe the best and then we'll start there. But we actually live in a world that struggles with that, and we struggle with it. Man, we're a nation of consumers of gossip. What's the latest little gossipy bit? And when you listen to gossip, it is usually negative. It's usually about what someone has done or what someone said or how they failed. But it causes us to go into this place where our go-to position is the negative. We hear people, see people, we make observations, and we decide, I don't like that person. You may have walked in here. I don't like that person. I don't like the way they dress. I don't like the way they carry themselves. I don't like the way they speak. I don't like them. We do it in the world around us all the time. We make assumptions about people that if they knew what we were thinking about them, we'd be horrified that they knew. And maybe you're not like this. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one that makes rash decisions about people. What about those people that have done something or haven't done something, have disappointed us? And we've already assumed what motivated it. We've made that decision. We believe the wrong or the worst. I tell you what, one thing that I've thought as I was preparing this, gosh, I'm glad God's not like that. That God doesn't look at me and go, yeah, well, Tim, I didn't ever expect any better of you. Tim, it's just how you are. God is the one that actually looks at us with hope. It's God that while we were his enemies, cold stone set against him, he pursued us because he saw his creation. He saw the image that he had placed in us and on us and knew it was worth redeeming. He could see beyond that which just presents. And it's this thing that Paul says to us, man, if we love, then we got to start believing the best. Love bears all, believes all, hopes all. There has to be room for the hope for the good. It endures all things. It just keeps going and going, and even in disappointment, it hopes. It hopes for the best. It hopes that even in what's presenting, that wasn't the intent. And if it was, the hope is that we can get beyond it because I'm going to choose to believe the best. Believing the best is a mind step. It starts here with our thoughts. Believing the best, let me say this, depends on our character more than it depends on someone else's character. Let me say that again. Believing the best depends more on our character than it does someone else's character. It's our choice. I was mentored for many years and I walked alongside this pastor, and he's a great friend of mine now. And he's quite an influential man. He was voted as one of the 100 most influential men in his city in the 100 years of its existence. And so people love to get his ear and, you know, get his attention. And I remember this breakfast that we were at, and there was a few of us that he'd invited to come, and we were sitting there, and there's all sorts of other leaders and groups. And I saw this fellow make a beeline for our table. And I know he's coming to talk to George, and he gets to the table. And it's one of those moments where someone leans in and they're speaking to someone, but they're obviously letting everyone else there hear. And he says this, he says, George, have you heard? And George looks at him and goes, heard what? And he names this man who's a leader in the city, and he says, have you heard that he's been caught in adultery and has had an affair? And George just turns to him, doesn't give a second for even that warm breath to have left the area, and he goes, I'm not going to believe it until he comes and tells me himself. And this guy who said it just stopped in his tracks. It was like he didn't know which way to turn. He just sort of stepped back and he realized he was not welcome in that space. What he was doing was not welcome in that space. And he turns and walks away and goes back to his table. He didn't go anywhere else. And you realize that it is a choice, because we hear something negative and we're like, really? Man, George didn't even leave a second space there to go, where did you hear that? Who told you that? Didn't engage at all, just goes, no. I'm going to choose to believe the best. Believing the best is always a choice, and even where there is doubt, and we're willing to honor someone else's character, there is still space for God to work. Go to Matthew chapter 1 and look at verses 17 through 19. And it's this moment of like, what on earth would you do if you know, as Mary or Joseph, the parents of Jesus. When Mary comes and she's engaged, she is fully betrothed to be joined in marriage to Joseph, and she has to come to Joseph and go, I'm pregnant. And it's God's. And Joseph just goes into serious doubt. That'd be a tough one. But his character leaves space. What it says in verse 19 is that Joseph was a good man and he did not want to reduce Mary to public scrutiny and humiliation and shame. And so he made it a private thing. And that's character. Even in his doubt, he does not lay waste to anyone else. And that's the problem, that often when we believe the worst, we actually want others to join us in the knowledge of that. When our character stands the test, there is always room for God to get into it. In the next verse, God just shows up and goes, actually, Joseph, it is. And the rest of the story is beautiful. But believing the best, like you see in that story, is absolutely born out of desiring the best. Do we desire the best for others? Believing the best is born out of desiring the best. And you've got to believe the best for yourself and for others. Because often the starting ground for it is in ourselves. We know ourselves. We know our own failings, our shortcomings, our own attitudes, the places that we come up short. And it's easy then to begin to project that on other people. And we begin to measure other people by the way we measure ourselves. And if I can fall short in that, then I bet you can too, and I bet you have. And we begin to just sort of downgrade everything rather than going, you know what, I'm going to choose the best. I'm going to choose life. I might be called a fool, but honestly, I would rather be surprised by someone's shortcoming or failure than live in the state of being a perpetual cynic and critic. I genuinely, when I watched George take that action years and years ago, I really made a decision in my life that I want to choose to believe the best. It's not always easy. But I would rather be surprised, like believe the best, and then be like, really? Man, I didn't see that coming. Like, I didn't see that in your character. I didn't see it. Than actually just be the cynic and critic who sees the negative in everything. And I know the Bible says the heart of man at the base of it all is wicked and deceitful, but I choose to live with hope. And I choose that because Jesus changed my life some 30 years ago now. Like changed it. And I know if he can change this heart, he can change hearts. And I choose to live in hope. Love hopes all things and never gives up. Do we choose to think the best of people? Take a moment. Think about what your go-to is. Is your go-to to choose to believe the best or assume the worst? When we know people close to us, family, or other people around us, or even strangers, what can we do? I'm going to give you three simple things that I pray will help us begin to believe the best. Remember this, there are choices to make, but there are actions to take. There are choices to make, but there are actions to take. The first thing here is this, be self-aware. Recognize it. Be self-aware. Listen to your internal voice and then listen to your external voice. Listen to what is going on in your head. Listen, become aware of where your thoughts go when you see someone. When you hear someone, when you watch someone's behavior, when you see the way someone dresses, when you watch something happen in a public space, where does our mind go? And be on top of it. Be aware of what our internal voices are and then be aware of what our external voice is, because the Bible says this, that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth just overflows. And if we are speaking like what we believe and it's negative, then there's something here. There's something going on. Judgmentalism, that we're critical. So be self-aware. Listen to what you're saying to yourself. Listen to what you're saying to others. Secondly, recognize your own subjectivity. Subjectivity is just, man, what I'm immersed in, what I'm exposed to. What are the things that have shaped my life? What's my family story? What's my community story? What have I seen? What has shaped me? What was I taught? It's interesting. We just did that series from Rick Warren on mental, and he talked about mental health. And one of the things he said was this, just because you think it doesn't make it right. Am I right? I like being right. We all like being right. But we think something about someone and we think we're right. We have a right to think like that. We have a right to judge like that. But just because we think it doesn't make it right. We've all grown up in this room. There would be so many different backstories that have shaped the way we do life. Shaped the way the things we like. Fashions we like, things we do to ourselves, things that we think look good, the way that we speak, the way that we were raised that it's okay to behave. It's called social conditioning, but if you went through this room, the maps would be so different. And because of that, people come from a different angle completely. And it creates friction and conflict. Like we might have expectation when it comes to be on time. When you say you're going to do something, be there on time. Make it happen. And other people are just like, yeah, I grew up on island time. And that was completely acceptable. And yet there's this friction. And we think that if someone's late, then they're lazy or they don't care. And I'm already thinking negative things. And I'm thinking just because you're there waiting for me and you thought it was right to be there 5 minutes early and I turn up 2 minutes late, you're just anal about it. You know, neither's right or wrong. You're just so focused on stuff that we think our way's right. Or clothing or hairstyles and what's acceptable and what should Christians do or not do or what. And we just have these denominational and cultural, all sorts of opinions and the way people use resources and the house they live in and the cars they drive and the holidays they take. And what should we be doing? What's generosity look like? And we just get opinions, but our opinions quickly call someone else into judgment. We don't believe the best. Cleanliness. Tidiness. Man, people look at my desk and they just like, how on earth can you function like that? I don't know how I function like that. Sometimes I don't think I'm functioning. I'm just like, it's chaos, but my mind is chaos. I tell people I used to think my mind was like this closed loop railroad and like a sushi train. It stays on there long enough. It always comes back around. And then I realized it wasn't. It's like I have this conveyor belt. And one day I realized that everything was a pile of boxes at the end that I failed to attend to. And I disappointed so many people. But I have to try and make choices to do better. It's just not my right. But nor is it this place for everyone else to just believe the worst, that someone doesn't care. It's too easy to start thinking negatively about others because they don't have the same values, the same conditioning. What about your own relationships? Have you ever been a critical of someone? Because you don't exactly hold the same values or priorities. Love believes all things. It bears all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And the third thing I would say is this. And this one can, in the end, it can be fun too. The third thing is to ask, what else could this mean? What I'm seeing, what I'm experiencing, even though I'm feeling, you know, negative about what else could be going on here? We determine what someone else's behavior means. So it's good to stop and go, what else could be going on here right now? What could another backstory be to what I'm experiencing? How do we put a positive spin on it? I would rather believe something good and positive than automatically go to the negative. Someone's late for a date or they've made an appointment with you or booked something with you and they're late and now they're really late. And it's easy to sit there and get mad and be offended and decide they don't care enough about me to be on time, and they don't. But there could be a whole other story. We don't know what traffic is. We don't know if their phone battery went flat. We don't know. So it's actually really good to try and start thinking positively and then, if need be, correct something that went wrong, but be surprised when the negative comes because you've been believing the best. What about that aggressive driver? The one who's just coming up behind you and he's trying to get through traffic, and we're just sitting there getting ticked off, and this is unbelievable. Can you believe the way that they are driving? I wish there was a cop around right now to pick up someone like that who's on their way to the hospital because they just got word that their wife has been admitted. And we don't know. But isn't it better to actually believe the best? And it removes the stress that I don't actually get ticked off and try and block him off in traffic, and then I'm trying to put my car in the way. Why not just make space, because maybe that is where he's going, and by goodness, he needs to get there. Or someone who's seems sullen or moody. Maybe they're not just being rude. Maybe there's something deep down that they need to talk about. It's so easy when someone's snappy or rude to just turn around and snap back, but not realize the deeper things that are happening. Perhaps someone's grieving something, bereaved, ill, faced something. What about when you're making a phone call and it rings once and then goes to voicemail and you know that they just hit decline? Well, how do you feel inside? What about when you've emailed someone and they won't respond to that email? And do we start believing negative? Do we look for a positive story in it? There are people that are inconsiderate. There's no doubt about it, but we don't know why. Someone that's the obnoxiously loud talker on the phone in public spaces. The people who have their music so loud in their headphones that I thought they were headphones so I couldn't hear it. But I can hear it sitting next to you. But I don't know what their hearing issues are. I don't know. But it's always better. You can just so quiet that inner voice if we actually just take a space and write another story. Donna and I actually do this when we go out. If we go out to dinner, we often will sit and talk, and we'll look at another couple and go, what's going on in their relationship? Let's write a story. Why is that person dressed like that? Why is that person carrying that? Let's just make up stories. And we try to write narratives for people's lives and what's going on. But it's just such a way to condition yourself to think differently when you see something happening. But what about if someone has intentionally hurt you, has intentionally gone after your reputation, has intentionally been negative and publicly so? They've gone after your family, your business. That's really pushing that choice, isn't it, of finding the good to believe. But the reason often that we get trapped in it is we're still more concerned about what they did rather than maybe why they did it. Because I don't know the backstory that conditioned their reaction. And I have had to walk through this in the last couple of years, and it was a really tough season of my life. And it was a trial to actually choose to believe the best, because I don't know what motivated someone to go after me publicly the way they did, because I don't know what they were reacting to. I know a situation, but I don't know what their previous pains were. I don't know what their previous grievance might have been. Insecurities, their own blind spots, offenses, and I had to choose daily to believe the best. I chose to carry a name in my pocket that every time I put my hand in my pocket, I felt this thing there because I would choose to pray for their good. And it's hard. It is a trial, but it is a choice. And it's a choice we have in a real kingdom way. That's not a perfect answer. I haven't always been perfect, but what are the choices that we're making? To be color, to be light, to be life. You know Jesus' example? He got nailed to a cross by people that had been plotting for years to see his demise. He was nailed there by Romans who had spent hundreds of years perfecting crucifixion. And Jesus, nailed there, dying, looks at them and says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Like, if that's not believing the best, I don't know what is, but that is the person that God's trying to conform us to. You see, this choices series isn't an easy one. It's not like, yeah, I'll just make that choice. Nope, it's going to shape the way we live. It's going to shape the way we relate. And the challenge to me in all of this was keep your mouth shut. Don't speak up. Don't defend yourself. Don't come back with your own personal accusation. Don't come back with your rights. Don't speak up. And I tell you what, that's tough. But I also knew that Jesus, when he was brought before his accusers, he actually remained silent. He didn't engage it. And a wise person said to me this, let your character speak in time. It might take a long time. And no one else may ever hear the good. But you got to know your own character and the intentions of your own heart. And when we choose to believe the best, we move in life. And the thing is, when we choose it, our integrity remains intact because we refuse to speak evil of others. We choose the best. Try not to react in the moment, but also allow time for their character to show, good or bad. And always leave space for hope, the hope of change, for love hopes all things. So those three things, be self-assessing. Listen to your own voice. Listen to your internal. Listen to your external. Recognize that we are conditioned to think we're right. We are conditioned to think we're right. We are subjective in the way that we think. And as long as we live in that subjectivity, we get stuck. And we get stuck believing the worst about others because it's different. And lastly, ask, what else is going on here? What else is the story? What's that good in it? What can I believe that is good? And then start there. Deuteronomy 30, 19. Choose life. Choose life that you and your children might live. Matthew 5, 14. We're here to be light. We're here to bring out the God colors. And every week we're talking about these. We're bringing a new color into it. And I chose green. It's this color of just life. And when we believe the best, it brings out these little explosions of color. And you begin to see this transformation from an image that could have been people running in terror from Twin Towers to something where people are throwing color around. And my goodness, my prayer is that we, the church, begin to throw around the God colors in this world, that it begins in our hearts and our lives and it goes out of here into the world that we live in and serve. And next week, as we talk about choices, we're going to choose to speak life. We're going to choose to encourage. We're going to choose to affirm. We're going to choose to build up. And so as we close, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and just let's quiet ourselves just for a moment as we go. And realize that there are choices to make, but there are actions to take. And Lord, in this space, we want to be a people of light, the people of life. We know, Jesus, you said that there is a thief, an enemy who comes to only kill and steal and destroy. But Jesus, you came that we would have life and have it abundantly. And so help us to walk in that abundance of life. In these themes we've looked at, that we would choose to love rather than be indifferent. That we would choose to forgive rather than to become embittered. That we would choose to believe the best rather than assuming the worst. And God, I pray that you would continue your conforming work in us. That Jesus, we would be more like you. And I thank you that we are in a community that we can grow together and walk in life together. Thanks. Amen. The beauty of this, I really feel, is when the accountability starts to come. Because we're going to be permission giving as we go through this choices series to be able to go, hey, in conversation, hey, are we actually believing the best? Hey, is that an encouraging, affirming thing to say? Like, we can call out accountability in one another, and we should also be able to say to one another, oh man, thanks. Yeah, thanks for correcting me. Thanks for helping me with that. Thanks for walking with me in that. And we become this beautifully inclusive and encouraging and life-giving community. So how about it? Let's choose life. Let's choose the God colors. Let's choose to walk in grace. Both in here and in the traffic and in the shops and wherever we might be, choose to believe the best. God bless you and keep you. And hopefully we'll see each other very soon.